Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Investing Simplified, the longest-running financial show in the Great Northwest that is live, that you can call in and ask a question. And in studio with me today is Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning. Carl's taking the weekend off, enjoying the nice sun. And we're going to have special guests on the air with us. Harry Dent, author, economist, and I owe Harry a lot because I built my practice in the 90s on The Great Boom Ahead, a book that Harry wrote. And we're going to have Harry Dent on the line. If you want to call and ask Harry a question, this is your opportunity, 503-417-7626, toll free, 800-990-0750. There is no foolish question when it comes to your money. And if you want to know what's going to happen to your money, what's going to happen to the economy, we have the guy right here today that's going to tell us, Mr. Harry Dent. Harry, are you there?
Yes.
And isn't that right? You're the guy that's going to tell us what's going on in the economy.
Yes, that's what I do for a living.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you heard my whole promo there, but I built my practice in the 90s on your book, The Great Boom Ahead, and you were totally right on, and you've been right on in a lot of your predictions. And right now, this economy, I enjoyed your comments, and I kind of want to kind of ask you some questions today about Yellen and the fact that that she didn't go in and start raising rates.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, you know, all economists and the Fed talk about escape velocity, and everybody said the Fed's done the right stuff, things. They basically hijacked the economy, taking it over. They set short-term rates at zero, and then they use quantitative easing to push long-term rates to zero return when you adjust for the average 2% inflation in recent years. And they act like everything's okay. Without all this money injections, without free money, and then literally we're talking zero interest rates, risk-free, we wouldn't have a recovery. And so they're acting like everything's okay, but they know it's not. So this is why they haven't raised rates. They know that the markets would react. People don't realize most of Wall Street, no longer are banks making many loans or things. They're just speculating. So when you have money at near zero, you can borrow a lot of money, leverage up your portfolios, whether you're an investment bank or a brokerage firm or a hedge fund or an individual investor, and speculate like crazy. So if Fed starts raising rates, it's not going to hurt the economy so much because they're just going to go to a quarter point or half a point in the next year by plan. It's going to kill these traders who are getting free money, and they're going to throw a hissy fit. And so that's their problem. They know there's going to be a reaction, so they're waiting as long. And every time they say, well, we are going to raise rates, but we're going to do it really, really slowly. This is just them admitting that the economy is not on sound footing. Like, we would be going through a depression if they hadn't printed, you know, $14 trillion around the world with all the central banks and filled in the holes. So that's where we're at. Our demographic trends, the reason is, you know, I was so bullish in the late 80s and early 90s when everybody wasn't, because I saw the baby boom coming and the strong demographic spending forces, something you can project. I can project this almost 50 years in the future. And now they're done. We said back then that around 2007, the baby boomers would peak, the last of them would kind of peak in their spending, and the demographic trends would slow down. And we've started to slow down, and we had our housing bubble first. And ever since, the Fed's had to inject trillions and trillions of dollars and run deficits just to keep the economy growing at 2%. And that's all it's grown at. And Jeb Bush said the other day, I'm going to have the economy grow at 4%. This is not going to happen. Mitt Romney said the same thing. All these presidential candidates want to act like they just give incentives. People spend money when they're raising their kids. End of story. Once their kids get out of high school or college and leave the nest, almost nobody spends as much money, and they, in fact, they start saving for retirement. So this is just a simple fact. We're going to have slow growth for many years to come until the next generation, which, by the way, is not quite as large as the baby boom for the first time in history, comes along and buys houses and raises kids. And until then, it's going to be weak, and the only strength is going to come from quantitative easing, and that's artificial, and that's cheating, and that's only propping up bigger bubbles in financial markets and excess capacity and debt in the economy is going to have to be washed out later. It's only going to make the crisis worse when quantitative easing finally fails. And I think basically it's already failing because the number one sign we've been looking for, Chuck, as you know, is that despite continued strong quantitative easing around the world, long-term rates are now going up. Germany, Japan, U.S., France, Italy, and of course Greece, because they're in deep trouble. But the Fed is losing control of the economy now because it's more important for the economy and for the stock market valuations in real estate that long-term rates stay down. But they are rising, and I think they're going to rise another full percentage point in the next several months, and that's going to be one of the triggers for the next downturn.
Well, I'm going to do a shameless plug here because we have your book, The Demographic Cliff, How to Survive and Prosper in the Great Deflation of 2014-2019. And if you listen to this show, you come by my office, I'll be glad to give you a copy of that book. Harry, if I were running for president today and you were my chief economist, because you would be if I was, I would ask you, Harry, how are we going to fix this economy?
Well, you know, unfortunately, we've already done the worst thing we can do. We have really the greatest bubbles in history in stocks. And real, we never even had a real estate bubble like this, unless you go back to the 1820s and 30s when everybody was moving to Chicago and the Midwest. And there, but, you know, when you have bubbles, there's only one thing you can do. They have to come back down to earth. And we've had the greatest debt bubble and credit bubble in history. Debt grew when you take government and private debt. And the private debt, as you know, Chuck, is much larger, four times as large at the peak in 2008. As the government debt, debt grew at 2.6 times GDP for 25 years, for the entire boom, 83 to 2008. So you can't do that. You have to deleverage the debt at some point. You have to deflate the bubbles. Otherwise, the next generation can't afford to buy a house. It's going to have to pay off all the debts of the baby boomers, and they can't make money on investments. Stocks are so highly valued today that the best models say that even if the economy's okay in the next decade, you would make minus 1% a year on stocks on average because they're so highly valued. They can only kind of go down from here, and that's what history shows. So we need to let the economy do its thing. It is painful when debt deleverages. I mean, banks lose money. Investors, bondholders lose money. It's painful when bubbles burst. Investors lose money. But those investments and a lot of that debt is concentrated in the very top, 1% and 0.1% of people that are doing so extremely well while everybody else is barely crawling along. So we have to let the economy rebalance itself. Now, governments can do some things. There can be some support for banks that write down loans instead of speculate and things like that. But you're going to have to mark these things to market. People need – the best thing we can do is write down loans for businesses and consumers to market value, especially in real estate, and that would put cash flow back in consumers' hands. But it's not going to come from higher income because people are not in that stage of life. Most of the baby boomers are now 50-plus, and that is a time when you spend less and save more.
Well, you kind of nail it right there, too, because one of the big problems we have in this country right now, and has been certainly for the last 6 to 12, 14 years, is the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer, and the average person, their income isn't growing at all.
Right. It has actually declined, adjusted for inflation, since 2000, average wages and stuff. So This is what happened. We had the last great bubble we had in the U.S. and in the world was in the Roaring Twenties. That bubble burst. We had a Great Depression. That's called debt deleveraging. That's called deflation in prices as money and debt disappear. Bubbles burst. But after that, guess what? The middle class soared. We created the first middle class in history because of that rebalancing, shifted the odds back and made a fairer playing field again for the economy. So this is the cure. The cure is to let the economy do its thing. Government should only give support to banks that write down loans. If you don't write down loans, and you only get partial support, but the government, if you're going to stimulate at all, it should give some support to banks that write down loans, because that will directly benefit consumers. And consumers should not get their credit hit if this happens. Banks lent irresponsibly, even told consumers to borrow money. Don't worry, that's your income. Just say it's higher. Don't worry. We're not going to check your documentation. We don't care. The reason they didn't care is because they were on a lending spree. Money was getting cheaper. And most important, nobody in this country, except for me, I think, thought real estate could ever go down. But people say real estate can't go down back in the 90s and early 2000s. I'd say, well, can you just pick up the phone and call anybody at random in Japan, where home prices have been down 60% for years and years, and commercial real estate's down 80% for years and years? And by the way, they're both still down that much, 24 years after peak. I knew real estate could go down. Bubbles burst. But people are blind as a bat when it comes to bubbles, especially politicians and economists. Every time I go on CNBC or a financial show, it's always me arguing against somebody says, this is not a bubble because blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, look, looks like a bubble, quacks like a bubble. This is a bubble. Look at this stock market and compare it to 95 to 2000, the last bubble. Compare it to 1925 to 29. It's a bubble. It looks exactly like those bubbles. And you know, no excuses matter. It doesn't matter what causes a bubble. Nothing can go up exponentially without getting overvalued and falling eventually, not just because of a crisis, but falling because of its own excesses. I mean, remember the NASDAQ in early March 2000 when it crashed 40% in the first few months and 80% ultimately. What happened? There was no recession then. There was nothing went wrong in the world. There was no terrorist attack or anything. It's just burst of its own extreme valuations. And when it did, investors ran like they do. Fear runs faster than greed. Investors ran. Next thing you know, you got the biggest crash since 1929 to 33. This is going to happen again.
Yeah, look how long it took to recover. Harry, we've got to take a quick break for our syndicated show, so we got to make sure we take a little break here, and we're going to come right back with Harry Dent. If you've got a question, pick up the phone, give us a call, 503-417-7626. Toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with Harry Dent, economist, author. And if you've got a question, give us a call.
We do Investing Simplified.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
We do investing simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do investing simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money.
Well, speaking about the Knowledge Trust, today we have special guest Harry Dent online. And Kevin, you got a question here for Harry?
Well, Harry, I hear what you're saying on all this, but doesn't the jobs growth rate seem to indicate that we're coming up on a boom cycle here? I mean, we're talking 5.5% unemployment and 200,000 jobs a month that we're adding?
It's 9% if you count the people that have just dropped out and quit looking for work, and it's 11% if you count the number of people who are working part-time and want to work full-time. So the unemployment rate is not as good as it looks. The other thing is that, and I've said this a lot recently, the two things that are doing better, while GDP has been much weaker than expected, retail, wholesale sales, durable goods, exports, manufacturing, all these things have been way weaker than expected, but jobs and housing have continued good. These are lagging indicators. Jobs are the last thing to come. I mean, businesses have to see a more proven recovery before they'll start hiring again, and then they're behind the thing, and they keep hiring until we're clearly in a recession. So jobs are not as important to me. I just put out in my newsletter the other day that people don't understand the workforce, which used to grow at over 2% a year when baby boomers were entering, workforce growth in this decade is 0.5% a year. That is 66,000 jobs a month. If we weren't on this catch-up from all the jobs we lost in the Great Recession, we would be growing at more like 60,000 to 70,000 jobs a month. So there are these economists who sit there and say, hey, now the new reality is 200,000, 250,000 jobs a month. As soon as we catch up, even in a good economy, that will not happen. And I think we are already starting to enter a recession, and we're going to see the deepest recession of our lifetimes in the next 2 to 5 years. And so, but you don't look for jobs. Jobs are the last thing to go. It's the same thing with housing. Housing is slower to recover than stocks, and housing is the last thing to go down when you get a slowdown. Stocks go down ahead of it. So those indicators are still strong, and at some point we're going to need them to weaken to confirm this. But the coincident indicators have been weak. And that's a sign that jobs and housing is going to follow. But we'll see. I mean, I still have to see that. But that is not the best thing to look at. That will not tell you a recession's coming. Looking at jobs.
We know, Harry. You've been saying for a long time the Chinese market was not the place to be. And this past week, it went down 13% in a week. That's a lot of volatility.
Yep. Yeah. We were just talking, Chuck, recently that while U.S. stock market's gone nowhere since late December, And that shows a change in trend, because obviously it's been straight up since QE started. But China had a huge bubble, went up 160% in the last year, while its economy and exports and manufacturing, all their key things, slowed in real estate. And the reason is that the biggest bubble in the world in real estate has been in China, and that bubble finally started to slow down. Real estate prices have been down the last year, not dramatically, but down. And now that real estate's not going up, and Chinese save way more money than we do, 50% on average, 70% for wealthier people, they're pouring their money in the stock market. And I showed a graph to our newsletter subscribers where 70% of the new trading accounts opened, you know, in the last 6 months, were people who didn't even have a high school education. So it's not just the rich Chinese. In fact, the rich Chinese are getting out of the country faster than any country in the world. They're leaving. They know it's a bubble. They don't trust their government. They're choking on smog, and they're using the excuse that they, oh, we got to move to California to get our kids an education. We're not really leaving the country, but while we're there, we're going to buy a $20 million home. They're laundering their money out of the country as fast as they can. And when China blows, they're just going to stay in California and say, nah, 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 you know. So the rich are leaving. The poor are speculating desperately in the stock market. And, yes, if it's not cracking now, it's going to crack soon. Germany went up 50% in 6 months after the October correction. And they've got the worst demographics in the world. The other thing we predicted is, you know, Chuck, in the early 90s, in the late 80s, actually, before it happened, was that Japan was going to collapse. They had this horrible demographic decline. Their baby boom, their housing bubble, their stock bubble all burst, you know, a decade and a half ahead of the United States. And you could see it coming demographics. Well, guess who has even worse demographics in the next 8 to 10 years? Germany has the worst demographic trends in the world. The only reason Germany's held up is the euro has fallen from 160 to as low as 104. Huge boost to their exports, and they export 50% of their GDP versus 10 to 12% for the U.S. here. So they're running on exports alone. When the economy gets worse or the euro starts going back up again, they're dead. I'm telling you that Germany is going down in the next several years, and nobody's going to see it coming. And if Germany goes down, Europe is dead.
Well, it sounds like to me that if you have cash available, there might be some great buying opportunities coming. You know, one of the things as I'm meeting people out there every day, and I'm talking to people, and I use your name, not in vain, but in a positive way, and I have people say to me, well, you know, Harry's a doom and gloomer. I said, no, Harry's an optimist. If you know the bubble's there, and you see it coming, and you prepare for it, you could take advantage of it. It's always better to buy low than buying high. And you could take advantage of this.
That's right. Who would argue if Mercedes were all of a sudden on sale for 80%? Who would be complaining about it?
Nobody.
But the problem is, since people are in the bubble and blind to the bubble, they're sitting there. Their wealth evaporates very rapidly when the bubbles burst, and then they don't have any money. You have to have cash. And, Chuck, you don't have to wait for the stock market to hit 6,000 or 4,000 two, three, four, 5 years from now. I think you can have a huge opportunity in 30-year treasury bonds literally months from now as interest rates keep going up, because at some point when we flip over to recession and deflation, you're going to see a 4% 10-year treasury bond drop down to 1%. And I'm serious, 1%. So if you can lock in 4% yields when stocks are only yielding 2% and getting ready to fall, and you imagine the appreciation on a 30-year bond if you bought it at 4%, and then, you know, years from now people are only getting 1%, how much they're going to pay you for that 4% bond. So that's the first, you know, I think when we see a worldwide crash, there's countries like India that are not as hostage to the world for exports and things like that, and have unbelievable demographics. You know, that'll be, and then at some point stocks. And again, gold, commodities, there's going to be a whole series of opportunities over the next 5 to 7 years. So yes, if you see this coming, you ought to be jumping up and down. And not only in that way am I optimistic, I was the most bullish forecaster in U.S. history, as you know, in the late 80s, early 90s, when everybody was bearish on the U.S. economy. So I'm bullish when it makes sense to be bullish, and I'm bearish when it makes sense to be bearish. Nothing goes up forever, and if you're always bullish, then you're just an idiot. period.
Yeah, absolutely. The markets are not always going to be going up. They're not always going to be going down, but they're not always going to be going up. And you have to look at the cycles, the economic cycles. And some of your demographic charts, I know I use the one all the time showing us being 11 years behind Japan on the demographic cycle. And I mean, that has been so true when you really look at what's happened the last 14 years. I mean, our rate of return in the S&P and the Dow are 40% of what they were the 80 previous years.
Yeah, and you know, this generational cycles, basically it turned up that they tend to be generations spend and drive the economy up for about 26 years, and then the economy corrects for 13 to 14 years. That's the reality. So stocks are up more than they are down, and most of the time you do need to be like most financial planners do. You're in the markets, you rebalance when things go down, you rotate sectors, you know, and you stay in, but you don't buy and hold in a period like 1929 to 42. Or 1968 to 82. Those were both 13, 14-year periods where stocks were extremely volatile, number one, and went down more than up. So that is not a time to do buy and hold. You've got to, you know, let bubbles like this burst. Yeah, and then you buy, you know, and then it goes up, and then it gets overvalued, you know. Or, you know, this is what you have to do, or just be in cash and wait for the whole thing to work out. I mean, basically, Joseph Kennedy made a multi-generational fortune simply by selling his stocks in late 29 and rebuying in 1932, 89% lower. He made a fortune that his family still hasn't spent.
Yeah, yeah. Everything was on sale, and he had the cash.
To have the cash or income, because nobody's going to lend you money, especially not a bank.
That's exactly right. You're going to be your own financier, and if you have the cash available, you can take advantage of it. If you don't,
right,
you can't. And you know, we've been telling our clients this for a long, long time. I mean, these things go in cycles, and if you don't look at the economic cycles and demographic cycles, you're missing the whole bet. And it just amazes me how many people I hear on TV, on the financial shows, where they're saying demographics don't matter. Well, the spending of Americans,
I get that all the time.
I know the spending of Americans is what drives the whole dang economy.
I was interviewing a guy at Barron's. I'm not going to give his name, but he said consumers are a constant. It's businesses and governments that go up and down in spending. And I'm like saying, you're telling me there's no difference between a 19-year-old first year in college and a 46-year-old living in the biggest house with three kids, and a 70-year-old who's retiring and spending down their savings? There's no difference? I mean, this is – economists learn what they learn, and people learn what they learn. I remember Walter Cronkite said, facts change, but opinions don't. I can't talk anybody to anything except for smart people like you. I mean, the people who are going to get what I do get it. People who aren't won't get it no matter how much I argue.
You're exactly right. There are people that
want to get it.
Yep. Totally closed-minded to their own opinion, and that's all they're going to hear. They're not going to open their mind at all.
Yeah, what could be more simple? When I give my speech to a normal audience, people jump up and down. They're like, this makes so much sense. I can understand the economy by understanding what people like me do. As soon as you throw that spending curve up there and what people spend and when they buy houses and cars and all this stuff, and people go, yeah, that's me. Oh, everybody's doing this. Oh, this is why we can project the economy 50 years in advance. It's so simple, but I couldn't beat an economist to this with a gun to their heads. And I don't even try.
Well, you know, I am really pumped. We are 90 days away from your Irrational Economic Summit in Vancouver. I've got my reservation. I've got my trips planned. I'm going to be there. And I am really pumped to come to this. And I think anybody out there listening to us today, if you have an opportunity to go, you are crazy if you don't do it. This is a power-packed meeting. Everyone that I've went to have been unbelievable knowledge. You know, Harry, the question is, and I'm going to kind of put you a little bit on the spot here, are we going to make it to the meeting before the bubble pops?
You know, I tend to think not. We've just seen the German bubble start to pop, and as you saw, the Chinese bubble start to pop. We're at a turning point here in late June. I think what I think is going to happen, I always have two scenarios, as you know, in the short term. Long term, I always have one scenario, but the short term has many more factors. I think we're going to see in the next couple months a 15 to 20% correction, the first serious correction since 2011 in this bubble. And at that point, how deep that is will tell me whether it's likely that we topped or whether the Fed comes in with QE4 and we go up and make one more new high. So that's the two scenarios, that we get a more significant correction and then bounce the new high later this year and then have the big crash, or this is the first wave down in the next few months. And particularly if it's 20% more than 20%, it's going to tell me we've likely topped. If we only go back down to the October lows, which is about a 15% correction, it's going to tell me, no, markets haven't topped yet. But this is a good time to get defensive, because who wants to sit through a 15 to 20% correction, especially if it might be the first wave down of a 70% correction, which I'm forecasting into early 2017. So, yeah, I think the market really has gone nowhere now for 6-7 months. And I think we're going to break to the downside, not the upside. But we ought to break one way or the other. So if we break to the upside, I'm going to tell people, okay, give the market maybe till the end of the summer for the bubble burst. But if it breaks the downside, there's a rising chance that, yes, it's finally fallen apart. And I'm hoping that does happen before the conference. The sooner we go through this crisis, the better. It's just that simple. If we'd have left, what the Fed should have done, it's just done QE for 6 to 8 months. One jolt to keep, you know, panic from setting in and banks from just rolling over. But you can't run an economy on QE forever. The sooner we let the economy rebound, we would have already had our depression, debt deleveraging, and come out the other side if they had let this happen. Now we're just going to have a bigger crisis.
Well, I got one other key question to ask you here, Harry. What do you think about Donald Trump entering the presidential race? You know, he's obviously a very successful businessman. What do you think about him entering the presidential race?
Well, you know, he does the same thing. He's a showboat. It's a way for him to get publicity. It's a way to get opinions out there. And I would agree with him on a lot of things. I wouldn't agree with him on everything. He's one of the people probably get us in a war right off. He'd probably just go straight off and attack Putin or something. But, you know, the Republicans are going to have 12 to 16 people. So obviously that's going to have to shake out pretty quickly. My problem, Chuck, is that I don't see anybody on either side that is the type of leader. When you have a crisis like this, like, you know, FDR in the Great Depression or Lincoln in the Civil War, you know, leaders emerge and make really tough decisions. And I don't see anybody that has a vision, and I don't see anybody from the past. I used to work with Mitt Romney at Bain & Company in the early 80s, and he's a really smart guy, and he's made a lot of money too. But he didn't really have a clear understanding of the economy and a vision of what to do. The Republicans all think if you cut taxes, everything will come back. We've already overexpanded everything, especially countries like China. We don't need to cut taxes and build more factories. We don't need to build more houses or offices. We got too much of everything. So cutting taxes is not the solution at this stage in the economy. And Democrats just think, oh, we can just keep running debt and we'll just pay it off one day, and we can keep raising entitlements. You can't do that. Our entitlements are going to have to be cut in half. We're going to have to retire at 72 to 75 instead of 62, 65. This is going to happen at some point because there's simply going to be no choice. So nobody's facing reality here. Everybody's running on ideology. And again, Jeb Bush saying, like Romney, I'm going to grow the economy at 4%. I'm telling you, I would take a 100-to-1 bet with Judge Jeb Bush, 100 odds in his favor to one, that there's no way in hell he could grow the economy 4% for the next 8 years. Not even a possibility.
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that could. So, yeah, absolutely.
Nobody could. No policy will.
Well, listen, Harry, this has been a great show. We really appreciate your time. I'm looking forward to seeing you and Rodney and the whole crew up in Vancouver, B.C.
You're closer than me, but that whole Northwest and Vancouver, this is my favorite part of the country, especially in the late summer and early fall, man. It's just killer.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful. Yeah, we're going to be up there for a week before the summit and do a little golfing. And I will see you in September. Appreciate your time. I'm going to do a little plug-in here on your book and your newsletter. So, Harry, thank you very much for spending a Saturday morning with us. Price,
Okay. Thank you, Chuck.
Thanks, Harry. Hey, listen, you're listening to Investing Simplified. If you want to get a copy of Harry's book, just stop by my office, give a call, let me know you're coming. We'll have a book ready for you. I still have a few left. As long as they last, I will give you a copy. If you say you listen to this show with Harry as our guest, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified.
We do Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do Investing Simplified.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Coulson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
And we just finished a great segment with Harry Dent. It's always interesting to hear what he's got to say, and he gave us definitely some a little bit of a timeline. You kind of got him to commit here on the last 90
days. Kevin, I meant to say to Harry, and I meant to say to all of our listeners out there, but I was so excited about having Harry on the show today that to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day tomorrow.
That's right.
And I hope you all enjoy it, and I hope your dad and has a great Father's Day, and I know we're going to have a great Father's Day getting the family together. It's going to be a lot of fun at my son's house, and we're going to have a great time. So all you fathers out there, this is a happy Father's Day to you.
That's right. So. Well, I thought I'd start out the tax investigator here. We've got about three little topics to talk about, and hopefully it spurs some questions. Give us a call if you do have a question or a comment, 503-417-7626 or 800-990-0750. But to start off with just a little bit of news here, it looks like our friends over at the IRS are still under siege with all the problems they've had the last year or two with political targeting, budget cuts, identity theft, various things along those lines. Well, it looks like it's going to get a little tougher for them, at least if House Republicans get their way. The IRS's budget for 2015 was about $10.5 billion, and it looks like House Republicans would like to actually reduce their budget for the coming year, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but certainly it's making a political point. But maybe the silver lining in all of it is an extra $75 million has been earmarked to help the IRS answer phone calls from taxpayers. So for $75 million, hopefully you won't have to sit on hold for an hour and a half, as I think most people had to do this last tax season if you had a general question for the IRS and wanted to get through. So I don't think I'd want to be in that department right now. They're certainly
The one saving grace they have, even if you break the law, you don't get fired.
This is true.
So, I mean, you know, even though you violate confidentiality, you don't get fired.
That's right. Or fail to file your own income taxes as an IRS agent.
Yeah, you don't get fired.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, any other place in the world but in America where, you shouldn't say that because there's places in Europe where you can't get fired either. But in America, basically, if you work for a governmental agency like the IRS, you can be a very bad employee and you're not going to get fired.
That's true. That's true.
Unfortunately.
That's right. Well, changing gears here, I've got I was going to have a one question quiz for you and Carl, but it looks like it's going to fall on your shoulders completely here, Chuck.
I got broad shoulders.
Okay. It's going to test your movie knowledge, and my impersonation won't be very good, but who famously would say quite often, "Oh, sir, just one more thing. Just one more thing."
Well, I know who says that Fox News, but I don't know.
Okay, well, my impersonation is not very good, but Columbo, Peter Falk.
Columbo.
Yes,
oh.
Yes.
Walking. If you had on your raincoat, I would have got it.
There we go, there we go. Sir, just one more thing. Well, this is a article courtesy of David Linick, wealthmanagement.com, and he did a good job laying out some information that I think will affect states in the future and future legislation. This is legislation, a bill in California, and they're calling it the Peter Falk bill, based on some circumstances that happened with him and his estate. And in general, Peter Falk's daughter from his first marriage and his second wife did not get along too well. In fact, I guess it was a pretty acrimonious relationship there. Peter Falk's second wife, Shira, had a conservatorship over Peter Falk when he went into the early stages of dementia in 2008. And at that time, Catherine, his daughter, found it very difficult to get information about his well-being because of the strained relationship. And again, Shira had the conservatorship over him. And so Catherine went to the courts. But the courts found that Columbo was being well taken care of, and that there was really nothing that they could do, and so they decided. Basically, once his health started failing in 2011, and he eventually passed away, Catherine didn't even know that he had passed away until she heard it in the media, and then she didn't even know the date or the location of the funeral. And so this is a bill, and when we come back from our break, we'll briefly talk about.
So this will be the rest of the story, like Paul Harvey.
Exactly right, yes.
We'll come right back after this break. You're listening to Investing Simplified.
We do invest. Investing Simplified.
Hi, everybody. Chuck Price, the financial doctor here. If you're between ages 58 and 68, choosing Social Security benefits at the right time is one of the biggest financial decisions you'll ever make. You get one chance to get it right. After 12 months, there are no do-overs. 74% of Americans receive reduced benefits. Get your free report on 44 Social Security secrets at pfgwm.com. Social Security is often one of the largest and most mismanaged assets in your retirement income plan. Claiming benefits sounds easy. So is leaving up to $250,000 of your money with the government, or reducing your benefits up to 76% over your life expectancy. For this vital information, go online to pfgwm.com or call 503-253-3000.
We do investing simplified.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Coulson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com. 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
Welcome back to Invest.
Back to the Columbo theory.
That's right. Yeah. And so just to recap, Columbo's daughter was not able to get information about her father from her conservatorship with her, her mother was in charge of. And so basically she put a bill forward that would help provide more information to adult children and parents of conservatees, people who have a conservator over them, that would help provide more information. Now, I know if Carl were here, he would have some comments about this because even as I read...
He couldn't help himself. He's an attorney.
This is true. Yeah, this absolutely. Is true. Yeah. And there's some nebulousness in this. There's a lot of terms such as reasonable visitation rights, yeah. Reasonable information disclosure. And what constitutes reasonable?
This sounds like litigating prosper to
it
me.
It does. Yeah. It does. So her bill would say that upon somebody's drop in health or demise, that adult children or parents of a conservatee must be provided notice within 24 hours, and they must have reasonable visitation rights. They must a number of things along those lines. And one other interesting note, and this could affect other states' legislation, is there's a provision that cemeteries and those who do cremations and interments would have to, as public record, have the deceased person's name, place of death, the date of interment, and the name and address of the funeral director so that people could find out where their loved ones would be taken care of. And apparently that was the case with her, as she possibly, Catherine, at this point, doesn't even know where her father's buried. So that's some potential legislation on.
But was she in the will? Was she in his trust?
I don't know.
Yeah, there might be a reason for that. So, yeah. I mean, you know, we just don't know.
That's right.
Well, listen, if you've got a question, you got to make a quick call. We got about five more minutes of the show left. And you can give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. And, of course, you can email me at chuck@pfgwm.com. Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you if they need to?
We're at baker-colson, colson.com, and our phone number is 503-666-5569, and we're out the east side of Gresham, 2414 Northeast Division Street. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep, and Carl's at warrenallen.com, and you can reach me at pfgwm.com or 503-253-3000 or toll-free 877-50-PRICE. And I do want to finish up and kind of follow up with what Harry was saying. It's kind of I've been following Harry since the late 80s and early 90s. And in fact, many of my clients remember the seminars we did on the Great Boom Ahead. And I've been a follower of his. And looking at what's happened since the turn of the century, Harry's exactly right. This market has just kind of done nothing. If you go back and look at the Dow Jones, which closed at 18,015.95 on Friday, the 19th, yesterday, that the Dow Jones, since 12/31/99, has had a return of 3.92% per year. That is totally unbelievable. If you look at the S&P 500, closed at 21,099. And if you go back to 12/31/99, that has a return of 3.02. Now, these are not average annual returns. These are real rate of returns. So people who listen to this show have to understand there's a big, big difference between real rate of return and average annual return. If you look at any other periodical, it'll say the S&P has averaged 6 or 7% for the last 15 or 14 years. And in reality, it's only really earned 3.02, and that's the real money. That's money in your pocket, and people get confused on that when advisors talk to them and give them these average annual returns, which are not real rate of returns. And the real key to investing is what you net, not what you gross. And it's not some hyperbole number that somebody comes up with. But and I looked at the market here for the year to date, Kevin, and the Dow Jones is up right now 1.08%. For the first five full months of, 5 months and 2 weeks of the year. And the S&P is up 2.48%. So Harry's exactly right. The economy is kind of flatlining. And so, you know, you have to have a strategy. And if you don't have one, you need to let me know and get a hold of me because you need to have one. You know, Kevin, thinking about the Colombo bill, and, you know, we have a lot of times where we meet with different clients and stuff. And one of the things I got to say to everybody out there listening to us on the air is that one of the most important things for family is to communicate. And Father's Day is going to be tomorrow. It's a great time to sit down with your kids and let them know, you know, that you got your things set up, you're scheduled, everything's in order. And you know, if you haven't discussed some of that with your kids and you're in your 70s or 80s or 90s, it might be a pretty good time to maybe say, hey, kids, here's the situation and here's who you need to contact if something happens. I find a lot of times we have clients who have not communicated with their kids, and when they pass away, the kids are totally dumbfounded on what to do and where to go and what to do. I mean, it's just a mess. So a little bit of communication goes a long, long ways. You got a big weekend planned, Kevin?
You know, not too much. Just staying around and hopefully seeing Pops.
Okay, well, great. We're going to get together with our kids and grandkids, and have a great Father's Day tomorrow. And I wish, again, Kevin and I and Carl wish all of the fathers, and I know Carl's going to have a great, happy Father's Day tomorrow. And wish all of you a happy Father's Day, and we'll be back next week with Investing Simplified. Let your neighbors know, let your friends know, this is the show that has answers to the economic questions that keep you up at night. Thank you very much. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. Price Financial Group, Wealth Management. We do investing simplified.